Breaker, breaker, can I get a 10-4? This is the Story Boys hauling a big stack of load down that freeway. Watch out, y'all got a bear in the air, and put the hammer down on the hammer lane. This is Big Willie, come on, what's your handle?
Gotta introduce the podcast.
You do need to introduce the show, though.
Come again, Big Matt.
You gotta introduce the actual podcast, over.
Now, come on, good buddy. No one's listening to episode 372 of this year of podcast without knowing what the score is.
Very well, Will. I will do it.
Welcome.
That means awaiting your next message or assignment.
Boy, oh boy, you Googled that pretty quick. Hey, everyone, welcome to Story Break in Medias Res, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals used very loosely here, have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie or television show. My name is Freddie Wong on the front seat, coming at you from the front
truck.
Seat of a truck.
I'm rolling on down I-15 looking for some motion lotion.
That's trucker speak for fuel.
Motion lotion. That's,
trucker slang is so fucking good.
I like that you clarified the slang, but not your name.
Oh, well, Big Willie. I'm up here in my Big Mac, which is a Big Mac truck.
I'm Matt Arnold. I'm a road dog first and foremost, or maybe a big strapper, a flatbed cowboy, if you will, and writer-director when I'm not on the highway delivering packages. So.
Oh, that would make you a Buster Brown if you're driving a UPS truck.
We don't drive no fucking UPS
okay,
trucks
hold
here.
Hold on. This slang website, one of the slangs is just big truck.
Yeah, big truck.
That's not slang. That's
What's
just
that
describing a truck.
Wait. If it describes
ding-dong,
it's
that
a slang.
That describes a ding-dong. That's slang right there.
Okay, no. A big truck is generally a truck able to pull a semi-trailer, usually with a trailer and not bobtail.
That's bullshit.
So a big truck.
All right,
big
folks. Truck. So today we're doing...
today we're going eastbound down. Got a lot of story to break.
All right, so real quick, Matt and I kind of both discovered this game at like about the same time through our various sort of means. It's this game called SnowRunner. And we basically texted each other about this. This is a game where you drive a truck and you drive a truck slowly.
You actually own a trucking company and you acquire many trucks. Because one truck doesn't fit all jobs, Freddie. You need good scouts. You need some big rigs. You need some good off-roaders.
Yeah. So I'm pulling up the website to give you what their ad copy is. So basically, this is a game where you, quote, get in the driver's seat of powerful vehicles as you conquer extreme open environments with the most advanced terrain simulation ever. Drive 40 vehicles from brands such as Ford, Chevrolet, and Freightliner as you leave your mark on an untamed open world. Now, for me, I was attracted to this game specifically because there's a line on their website that says that you will haul, quote, extreme payloads. And I was like, I'm buying that. I don't care what this is. I'm buying that and I'm playing it. Matt, what attracts you to this game?
I just saw that it had like an 80 on Metacritic and I just looked it up. You know what it is? I've always wanted to play like Truck Simulator, but like the idea of just like driving a road for a long time kind of bored me. But the moment the idea that you were simulating like... Because the picture of the cover is a truck like tipping over on a snowy mountain road with a bunch of metal pipes. And I was like, okay, the idea of like...
Ice runners, yeah. Or
no, what's the dangerous truck movie with, you know, the World War II movie where they got the bomb on the truck?
Wages of Fear.
Yeah, the idea of like a Wages of Fear simulator was pretty awesome. And I was like, okay, I just want to try this out. And then I got really into it. And then we're like, Will, you like trucks? And he's like, no, I don't. I'm like, you're a boy? You like trucks? And he's like, you're right. I do like trucks. And then he downloaded it too.
I begrudgingly downloaded the game and I was like, all right, I'll give this a shot. I'll probably get bored. Cherish, my wife, took a video of me playing this game and I look like I'm 2 years old. Like, I just have the fucking goofiest grin on my face and I'm not listening to her at all. It definitely awoken, like, I had big truck energy when I was like a little kid. Like, I was obsessed with trucks. So it's like, it's all back now. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, Will.
When Matt and Freddie said that they wanted to do this for Story Break, I immediately hopped on board because of my long-standing love affair with CB trucker slang, which is my favorite. I had a trucker character in something a zillion years ago, and I did a deep dive into trucker slang, which I absolutely fucking love. So to give you guys a little taste of the slang from the CB airwaves, you know, it's such a mix of like blue collar wits and like just it's got its own quirky flavor. I'm going to give you the trucker names for some famous cities and you guys are going to guess which city it is.
Oh, okay? This is a good game. I like this. It's a good segment.
So we're going to start with an easy one.
Okay.
Disneytown.
Oh, it's got to be like Anaheim.
Okay, boom. Crashville.
Los Angeles?
Hold on. Like Chicago or Detroit. Feels like I'm
in Midwest. No, that would be Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, shit.
See a little play on the rhyme there.
Oh, Crashville. Oh, that's good.
This is the one I was really building up to because I was like, oh, these are all really charming. Like Little Cuba is Miami. Like, you know, Hotlanta is Atlanta. All right. Idiot Island.
Is that Staten Island? Or
no, it's Rhode California. Island? Literally California is Idiot Island.
That's so good.
That's perfect. Perfect.
That's amazing. You know what? If
Welcome to Idiot Island, home of Story Break.
Then I guess just straight up, that decides that we have the worst drivers. Because there's anybody who would know
That's true.
The worst drivers are, it would be truckers.
That's true. Very, very fair.
So we're going to do SnowRunner. Here's the thing. So
yes, tell them about the lore, because this is intriguing.
Yes. Because, look, you are ultimately just getting in trucks and carrying cargo, whether it's lumber or, you know, spare drill parts, and you're essentially fixing the infrastructure of various out-of-the-way towns. So you start in, you know, Minnesota kind of logging
town.
Michigan.
That has a flood.
That had, like, a flood and whatnot. So, like, okay, more or less, I get it. You're doing a trucker game. But the reason that SnowRunner has this weird lore or vibe to it is because it's kind of a lower budget game, there is no humans or animals anywhere in the world. It's like when you drive through the Michigan town, you're in a whole town, but there's no humans.
Yeah, there's houses, there's cars and driveways, there's like the main street. There's nobody in
view. But I kind of lied because there is a human. There's you. They actually put a human being in the cockpit. It's not like Burnout Paradise where there's just no humans anywhere and like there's not a human in the car. And they literally talk about in the developer thing where they're like, it'd be weird if there was one human in the car in Burnout Paradise. So they just kind of made it like a weird car world. But this one's like, no. You are a man in a completely empty universe still getting contracts and just fixing abandoned towns and getting their infrastructure ready.
And by the way, and a man who, on top of being like in a cab and driving the car and having your hands animate, also they programmed in like rudimentary AI. So like your character will fall asleep if you pull the parking brake and wait for a while. So it's like a human man with human needs is in this world.
And I believe he has a wedding ring.
He has a wedding ring. And then on top of that, it's not like a game like Death Stranding, even though mechanically it has very similar sort of feel. Death Stranding, obviously, I think even pulls from the earlier iterations of this game. Because Death Stranding, you at least see, you know, hologram versions of other people and they kind of greet you. This is a totally barren world. And it's so barren that the occasional appearance of like a lone wolf is enough that people are like, is this part of the game? Like, everyone's taking screenshots and as if they're sharing like screenshots of Yeti.
As opposed to what? Wait, there's Yeti?
No, there are.
It's like Yeti. It's like Bigfoot. And people are like, oh my God, there's a wolf.
Supposedly, Will, there are a few animals. I've yet to see one. They're so rare that on the Reddit, people take pictures of it like, oh my God, there's a wolf. I found a wolf. Has anybody seen a wolf before?
Whoa.
It's like that rare. So the other thing that's amusing about it is because you get a whole fleet of trucks, like, again, you are kind of running a truck company, and as you get further in the game, it's like, you might tip over your crane, so then you gotta go and grab a scout to go and help, like, turn your truck back over. But it's always the same person, so the idea of this guy, like, owning 10 trucks that he, like, drives to places and then hops out and then runs back to his garage to get a separate truck, he's like Wally. Essentially, he's blue-collar Wally in an abandoned universe, slowly fixing the infrastructure, I guess, for when society will come back or something. Anyways, so there's kind of a fun, weird, lonely element to the game as well that I think it's kind of like a trucker Animal Crossing. I think there's a reason why this game's kind of capturing a certain group of people like Animal Crossing is right now. The idea of you kind of be alone and just like having the pleasure of just fixing the world around you and that you can absolutely make it and the struggle is real, but the effect is real. Anyways.
All right.
So yeah, so that's SnowRunner.
We flapped our jaws enough on this one. I think it's time to get down to the tough work of pulling this story out of the mud, gentlemen.
Let's do it.
Before we get into that real quick, Will, can you just tell me a little bit about trucker movies? Because you are the most familiar out of all of us with truck movies. And it feels like this is an archetype that we need to be playing into.
Everything we've described from the rugged wasteland to the sense of isolation and foreboding that permeates SnowRunner, we're talking about like Andrei Tarkovsky's trucker movies, what this is starting to sound like. Especially because it goes from Michigan to Alaska to Tamir, Russia, which is the northernmost frozen peninsula of Russia.
Yeah.
Trucker movies usually involve Burt Reynolds hauling a load of illicit booze. I'm describing Smokey and the Band. right now. But it's there's a sort of like, again, like the trucker as a sort of romantic American figure, as the sort of like last American cowboy, you know, driving across this great land of ours. Usually there's a sort of subtle contempt for local law enforcement woven in there, because the truckers are always getting like smoky is what you call a police officer, although you also call them bears. So like a bear in the air is a helicopter and stuff like that. So, you know, like a lot of trucker songs, of which I listened to two straight hours last night, involve getting radar fever, which is when you get busted by the cops or pulled over. So yeah, they're just kind of, you know, fun, ambling, free-spirited road movies with a kind of gruff.
What's the point? So you're saying it's always kind of like a point A to point B, trying to get some goods from A to B. It's a very linear.
I'll describe the plot of Smokey and the Bandit to you, which is maybe my favorite trucker movie. I also have to clarify that my love of this genre far outweighs my expertise with this genre. So my ego is writing checks my body can't cash right now. But so Smokey and the Bandit, Burt Reynolds is a legendary trucker. We meet him at the beginning at a truck rodeo, which is like a competition where truckers, like, you know, basically do like, it's like a little trucking competition. And he gets hired. He takes a bet that he can move a truck full of Coors beer.
Nice.
Which, if I remember correctly, is not sold on one side of the Mississippi. It's banned there. And so he's got to take it from Texarkana to Atlanta, if I remember the song right. The song Eastbound and Down is from Smokey and the Bandit. But so then basically the movie is he teams up with his trucker buddy, and they're going to race this load of illicit booze across the country.
This illicit regular-ass booze.
Yeah, this beer.
4.5
that you just,
alcohol.
It's just a dumb macho bet, basically. Yeah. So they're going to haul it across the country in 24 hours or less. He picks up Sally Field along the way, and I think the sheriff is like her dad or something. There's always an angry sheriff based on the guy from In the Heat of the Night, it always seems like. And then they get into hijinks. He's driving a Trans Am, you know, thwarting the law, you know, to keep them away from the truck. It's that kind of thing. So I do want to say that the genre in general, like as it's kind of known in the 70s and movies like that and Convoy, that's like big open freeway trucking. It's not like man stuck in the mud kind of trucking.
Yeah, what's fascinating is what he described in terms of kind of like the political ideology. They are like polar opposite SnowRunner, what you described, and what I think trucks in general represent in America. Like, they're the ultimate libertarian vehicle, right? It is like, I am this big truck, I'm gonna do what I want, I'm anti-authority, I'm not hurting anybody, let me just have a fun time and ride it out, people, you know, like, go, the road is ours. So that's like Smokey the Bandit, or kind of like normal American truck movies. Whereas SnowRunner is like, you're like a slave to society to some degree, like, right? It's like a communal sort of like, this is a gig, like, here's your truck, help out humanity, help out your fellow man as you go around this, landscape, using your trucks for the necessity of this world, which needs your help.
You hit on something right there. SnowRunner could not be made by an American studio, because in America, the idea of the truck and conquering the land and being able to go places is so tied in with the American individualist identity that the idea of then you have to do this, but you're doing this in service of a community to rebuild is like total anathema to, I think, the American dream.
Well, you're absolutely right.
That is interesting.
Yeah, in SnowRunner, it's like the sort of like communist proletarian, you know, sort of everyman hero, right? Compare his anonymity to Burt Reynolds in Smokey and the Bandit, right? Like, if this was an American company, an American game, there would at the very least be like a 10-minute cutscene introducing you to the cool-ass trucker you play, right? But they're like, no, this could be any one of us, right? Like, this is the trucker in SnowRunner is like the spirit of our collective will to, you know, to pull ourselves out of the mud of adversity.
No, if we want to get really analytical, you could even get into in the economy of the game, because it is notoriously stingy on your rewards for doing a mission. You'll spend like an hour grabbing like metal plates and like trucking up through a mountain and getting stuck and grabbing a crane and riding yourself up and finally getting there, and you get like $1,000. Can you imagine an hour-long mission in Grand Theft Auto giving you $1,000? And then they also do this thing where all the expensive trucks you can kind of just find out in the wilderness. It's actually better just to find trucks than buy them. And when you buy and sell, there's no depreciation of value.
Yes, because it's not a capitalist game, right? It's just a truck is worth what a truck is worth.
Yeah, interesting.
It's just this open economy that's like, once you get it, it's kind of there, and there's no cost to selling or exchanging goods. You kind of just move your stuff around to whatever Michigan needs.
Not only that, by the way, the idea of personal properties almost doesn't exist in the game because you can just get into trucks that you find. And sometimes these trucks are in someone's driveway or like clearly belong to someone. It's just yours now. Like you can just take it as necessary.
It's not yours. It's Michigan's because that truck's going to go out and fix everything. You're right. You're right. An American company would not make this game. There's just subtle shifts in.
To each according to his needs, from each according to his trucks.
Okay. This game's so good. It's such a good game.
Interesting.
Okay. Again, it's the Andrei Tarkovsky trucker movie.
So, yeah, what's the angle on it? How do you make this an entertaining movie? Because obviously, the thrill of the game itself. Okay, there's two, at least, you know, we can all talk about it. But for me, to what Will often does when we kind of do a movie on a video game, is like, how does the game make you feel? And to me, the thrill of the game is one, it's got that perfect level of challenge where. Right. It's just the satisfaction of being smart and overcoming. And then it is the inherent thrill, like Will said, of the being a 2-year-old of just getting big trucks and like rolling through the mud. And like the first time you get a truck that's like 30 feet long and you see a slope that's like 30 degrees, you're like, I can't make it up it. But maybe I can. And then those wheels hit the ground and they and your truck's almost flipping and then you make it up over a rock like. I don't know. It just hits that lizard brain part of you where you're like, I did it.
This may derail, but I just want to throw this out here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So in the spirit of getting to that and that feeling, one of our friends who has kids has told us there was this show on Netflix that just blew the minds of his little son called Dino Trucks, which is basically dinosaurs and trucks. These are giant creatures who are half dinosaur, half truck. And it was like perfectly tailor made for like the 7-year-old brain. Let me just throw this out here. What if trucks can only be controlled by 8-year-olds in a Evangelion-esque like pairing? Like they have to be paired with kids
Holy
in the
shit.
Future. So kids, it's little kids having to rebuild America or wherever the place has been. And it's all like 8-year-old truckers because they're the only ones who can interface with like the technology. I don't know.
That's a very good movie. I unfortunately don't think it's SnowRunner.
I hear you.
But Neon Genesis Evangelion with trucks is the greatest pitch I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that we should absolutely just pitch that as a kid's show to Netflix. You do that the right way. That is very good.
You know what you're talking about, Matt, in terms of, you know, going through the mud and stuff like that. Again, for me, the moment the game came alive was the first moment that I took my big truck and pulled an even bigger truck out of the mud. That was like
yeah.
It was like the Matrix where he's like, what are you saying? I can dodge bullets. I was like, you can truck trucks? But there is an element that is very like man versus nature, right?
Yeah.
Like there is a sort of like asserting your will over the rugged, cruel, indifferent earth.
Yes.
That man is able to move machine where machine should not go, right? Like
yes.
It's not the American sort of like, you know, libertarian contempt for Yankees and law enforcement that's on display in
Smokey and the Bandit,
but it is like its own kind of bleak, I'm assuming Eastern European way of like being like the world is cruel and unforgiving, but we shall assert ourselves over it kind of thing. There's still a that sort of
well, you get humbled in the game, right? Like not to keep going back and forth, but like the GTA version of this game, like you get stuck because there's like an exploded bridge and you got to do something cool. This game,
it's like there's a big rock in your way.
Yeah, this game, you're like
spend 2 hours dealing with that.
Yeah, you go up a mountain and then you just get stuck in mud. And you're like looking around and you're this huge vehicle. Again, your metaphorical massive penis was conquering a mountain and then you just get stuck in mud. And you're like, wait, what? And then that's it. And then you're like, well, that's 30 minutes lost. I got to go get another truck. I got to drive up here and I got to pull myself out. Like, you know, stay humble. Like, you know, you could get stuck in mud.
Okay.
It's that simple.
All right. I feel like we've scouted the terrain.
By the movie.
So let's talk about a couple of elements of this to me, which seem... I'm reminded of Stalker.
Yeah.
It seems very metaphysical. So I know in the Michigan one, in the Michigan level, the explanation for why it's so muddy and why there's no one around is like there was a big flood, right? Which almost has a biblical feel to me.
Ooh, I like that. Let's go with that. I like that.
This flood, you know, wiped out Michigan. And this one guy is being sent in to rebuild it. So the first thought that popped in my head would be to do that, like, it is basically Cars or Doc Hollywood, and your main character is, like, Smokey from Smokey and the Bandit, who's this cocky rebel. Or, like, it's even, like, a hallucinatory sort of, like, dream odyssey as he's going through these locations, you know, that maybe have symbolic representations of his life.
Oh,
and then,
oh. Okay, I have an idea. I have an idea to give it the frame. I like that. So I think what you do is... Imagine, let's just stick with Michigan for a second. Let's try to combine these two genres just a touch.
Mm-hmm.
You could do What happens if your main character was like, he went to prison or whatever because he was, you know, whatever, running Coors across the Mississippi, and his job, he had community service, and his job was like, you got to transport this lumber over to the dam or whatever it is. And then the flood happens, and it's like, again, if he completes this, he's free. Like, this is the end of his community service. And everybody else flees the town, but he refuses to. He's like, the moment I do this, I'm free. So, like, you know, everybody else is fleeing the town and whatnot, and he's like, I'm not leaving, because they, like, are going to put handcuffs on him. Like, all right, let's go. Like, he's like, when am I going to get out of here? He's like, I don't know. Once this flood's done, we'll figure out how to continue your community service. He's like, bullshit. You made me a deal, Sheriff. The moment I complete this, I'm done. This is the end of my service. I'm doing it right now. And then, like, everybody else leaves the town. Now he's alone in this flooded town. Oh, because he could do the fun thing as he's moving the cargo, you know, across this whole city to get there. He's finding all these, like, you know, these destroyed houses and, like, little help. And, like, you know, he starts learning about other people or something as he's alone in this wilderness or whatnot. He comes across.
Oh, so you're saying it's the journey of an individualist towards a collective mindset.
Yes. It's communist propaganda taking over the most American movie of all time.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting.
I don't know, something like that.
And then it's Bernie Sanders on the CB being like, hello, good buddy. I am once again asking you to truck. Can I get a 10-4?
That's great.
It's a big impression.
So I like that, Matt. One thing I want to point out, though, is that if we're going to do a movie called Snow Runner, he needs to get into the mountains at some point and deal with snow.
Saying in Colorado.
But no. I like this idea. Just to take your thing and kind of push it even further. The idea of a great biblical flood coming and hitting, like, let's say, like, there's like a chain reaction, you know, positive feedback loop due to global warming, and there's this huge flood that hits all of North America. And, like, the idea that someone needs to get across America and Canada for, like, a point A to point B kind of thing. Oh, what if it's a guy who's, like, in Alaska, who's married and wants to get back home, but along the way, right, like, he has to truck across the flooded plains of Canada and the U.S. just to get back to his family. But along the way, he learns that, like, people need his help. People need his truck. And slowly, he's like, you know what? I actually need to help these people. And it becomes this an odyssey a little bit.
No, that's not bad. If you do put people in the movie. So, yes, there's kind of, like, you can either do he's completely alone and he's just kind of experiencing this role after
just.
No, I like what you're saying. The other version is, yes, you could do something where he has this selfish goal of, like, you know, the town's flooded and, you know, the cops fled or whatever. Right now, he's got a truck, right? He broke out, he's got a truck, and he's just going to leave. And he's going to cross this floodplain and, you know, make it over the border or whatever. And because he's got this tool of utility, right? He's got this incredible truck. As he's driving, he's finding people who need his help. You know, and as he's keep helping people and whatnot along his selfish journey, he eventually learns something and whatever.
And I would say, to jump in.
Yeah.
My problem is that, to me, it's not a road trip movie where it's like you're helping people along the way. It is like, it feels more like Bridge Over the River Kwai or something, where there's like a specific task that needs to be done for him to earn his freedom.
Yeah.
Because I do like the idea that, like, you know, if you're going to do that, this hot-headed jackass trucker, like you hear about in so many American trucker songs, gets into a bar fight or wrecks his truck into the fucking, you know, sheriff's office and is in jail and is gonna, you know, get the book thrown at him or whatever, and then there's this mighty flood, right? It would be like there's, like, again, like a huge boulder blocking the mountain pass out of town or something like that.
Oh, that's fun.
But then it would be like, it's kind of like if you give a mouse a cookie, like, you're like, he needs to get this boulder moved, right? But to do that, he's going to need to help the farmer get the crane out of the mud. He's gonna have to, like, I don't know, like, it's like he has to help these people, you know, help themselves, so to speak. Something like that, maybe.
Okay, that's kind of getting there. Yeah.
I also want to, like, I am interested in this biblical angle. I'm like, is it literally God to fucking with this guy? If you want to get the snow in there, you do the first day there's just this giant flood, and then the next day there's a huge blizzard, you know, like, it's just like they keep throwing stuff at him. Anyway, keep going.
Okay, if you want to do kind of biblical and a little more allegorical or whatever, I would do, it's not some sort of like deal he's got, I would do that he was put into solitary because he was such an asshole, right, or something like that. And I would do, he wakes up to this massive, you know, the whole building's rumbling and he gets knocked out and he wakes up and it's like the whole town fled because the dam was breaking and they left him, and now he's in this, like, flooded valley, you know, completely alone by himself, and so it's like the roads are broken down and he needs to get out of here. You could do, maybe, though, again, that puts you in this, like, mindset
That's more just like an individualist survival thing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Tricky.
But that's, to be fair, where a lot of, like, if you're going to do an arc of someone joining a community, that kind of individualism at the beginning is not like a bad place.
Yeah, you
got
to start there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
and I think, by the way, just just as a thing, in my head, thinking about the cinematic language of it, I don't think you can show, because he's going to need to interact with humans to make that journey, right? He needs to be able to see the effect of his work, so to speak, of his good works. And I just feel like you need to see grateful faces on screen. Otherwise, it's just too divorced from...
Unless he's hearing grateful voices over his radio, Freddie. And then he only sees people from afar in his rearview mirror as they're waving at him to thank him.
Well, I think what Freddie's getting to is what you need. Yeah, because the game doesn't have people, but there is an element of reward when, for example, like, yes, there are normal contracts you do, but some of the things you do are, you know, fixing infrastructure. So, like, when you fix a bridge, when you bring, like...
Yeah, you get to watch the bridge get built, finally.
Yeah, which obviously you don't see people, but it's like you see the bridge get built, and you're like, hell yeah, like, the bridge got fixed because of me. So there's that element of satisfaction.
Again, all the missions are, like, again, like, I don't know what it is in Alaska or in Russia, like, but in Michigan, it's definitely explicitly like there was a disaster and you were helping.
Yeah. Yes.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm just trying to feel this out.
Let's stick with the Michigan disaster.
Okay.
And the flood, because that's, you know, that's what the game gave us. So how do you make a good...
I like a dam breaking. I think that's fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know that there's a lot of dams in Michigan, but...
I mean, whatever.
Michigan dam. Well, there's, you know, the Great Lakes.
There is one in the game. That's the second area.
Oh, okay, great. Well, yeah, then we're going to say
the
dam...
there's plenty. There's plenty in Michigan.
Okay, so yes, there's a massive...
There's a lot of dams.
Because the dam breaks.
Because America's infrastructure is crumbling.
Because of the crumbling American infrastructure, because of our lack of communal spirit.
Yes.
And people on... Get this, guys. People on both sides of the dam are affected.
Oh. This guy was put into prison in Michigan because he was a communist. And with the dam floods, all the private trucking companies are gouging out the places. And he's like, I'll do it all for free. And they're like, bullshit. You can't survive off of goodwill alone.
He's like this biblical figure. And it's like people are like, here, take my diesel fuel. It's not much, but you're doing a good thing. The people are like slowly donating to his cause. Eat a sandwich here.
Oh, it's like that book Stone Soup. You guys remember Stone Soup, right?
Stone
Soup.
No,
what's Stone Soup? It sounds familiar. Is this a kid's book?
It's a European folk story, but it's also... okay, so basically, like, a traveler comes to a village with an empty cooking pot. It's like a hungry, poor, you know, rundown village. And everyone's like, no, we don't have enough food to eat, right? And so this guy comes into this area, and then he just sets his cooking pot down, and they're like, what are you going to cook? And he's like, oh, don't worry, I'm making stone soup. And then he's just filling the pot with water and he puts a stone in it. And they're like, well, how do you make stone soup? It's like, well, you start with this. He basically, like, little by little, like, tricks them all into contributing ingredients to the stone soup. Because he's like, it needs a little garnish. And then someone's like, oh, well, I could throw a little garnish in, because they're excited about this big soup. So then one of them, who was holding onto his carrots,
that's
is like,
an interesting story.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Walter, you know, if we're going to have a big tasty soup, I can give you a couple of carrots. And so then he's able to get them to all make a soup that can feed all of them.
You know what I like about that story?
What?
It's that... On its surface, it's like kids will be like, oh, it's a story about sharing. But if you think about it for like two more seconds, you're like, it's also a story that shows that people don't act unless it's in their self-interest either. You could say that he's tricking them into sharing, but every single person who shares believes that there's going to be something at the end of that rainbow, so to speak.
He's basically running a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Ponzi, but with food.
And then the end of the story is he takes the soup and he runs out of town. It's like, I got a shitload of soup.
That's, in fact, the last line of Stone Soup is the hero says, I got a shitload of soup.
And it's a bunch of villagers shaking their fists at him. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about this guy. So we know that he's married, right? That's all. Mm-hmm. He seems to be wearing a really comfy sweater every time I'm driving.
It's cold out there, is why.
So he's this guy. Man, we're spinning, you know.
That's right, Will. We're spinning our wheels in the mud right now. We're halfway up Story
Mountain.
We're
halfway through? Oh, Jesus.
And we don't even know where the road is going. All right, we're going to need to take a quick break here.
Let's pump the brakes.
Let's engage the rear differential lock.
Let's refuel our bank accounts.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to hit you, by the way, with Story Breaks. This is unprecedented. Story Breaks' first ever actual ad read. So stick around. Stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks.
These are real podcast listeners, not actors. We took the identifying marks off this podcast. Just tell me your impressions.
It's really sexy.
My first thought is like Radiolab?
Definitely something popular.
Yeah, really popular. A hit show.
But funny too. Like, does Tina Fey have a podcast?
Or the Marx Brothers?
Yeah, is this podcast Radiolab, but hosted by the Marx Brothers?
And sexy, like Sade? It reminds me of Sade.
Exactly. And they're all riding in a BMW.
Close, but not quite. Take a look behind these panels. And then watch this rocket blast off into space.
Whoa.
Ooh.
And there's the pies we made you. Now, let's show you the podcast.
Wow, it was Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Jordan, Jesse, Go?
Hold on.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
That was 514 J.D. Power and Associates Podcasting Awards.
That was really scary.
But compelling.
I guess I should definitely subscribe to Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Jordan, Jesse, Go, a real podcast.
All right, we're back.
Okay, look, in order to get up this mountain, as you said, we need to know where we're going.
Yeah.
I think that's why we're spinning our wheels. We just need to pick a clear objective. Like, for all the wax poetic we just did, Snowrunner is very good at giving you clear objectives. It's like, here, go take this big thing to that area using your big truck. So I think we need to know what it is that we're trying to accomplish throughout the movie.
And it does feel like, all right, if you were going to structure your five-act movie around one big truck thing per act, what would those truck things be, right? If you're in charge of like a truck-sploitation thing, right? Like, what are the five set pieces of this film? And then maybe we can kind of weave those together, right? So,
fording a river.
Fording a big river. Okay, yes. And there's a lot of tension to that, right?
Yeah.
Something's like tipping, like mountain pass, snowy mountain pass.
Snowy mountain pass, I like quite a bit.
Yeah.
Snowy mountain class with a big payload.
Big payload.
Pulling another...
Wait. Aren't all of these big payloads, though?
I guess that's true. They're all extreme payloads.
They're all extreme payloads. But yes, the mountain pass is all about the tires, you know, slipping over the edge and like one wheel literally being off the cliff as you're turning, like that sort of thing.
And that's okay. Yes. And then you've also got...
I think riding yourself up, like being tipped over is something that happens all the time in the game. But like, I think he should actually get tipped over and have to right himself.
Okay. There's also, I was going to say, pulling another car out of the mud or like pulling another truck out of the mud seems like a sort of task like that has that kind of communal energy to it. You're helping someone.
Yes.
And then like, what is like, what's like the big climactic thing, right? Like, what is the task that, you know, he's going to have to.
I will say I just finally started using the crane and the crane is so fun. It feels like a big crane thing would be cool. I could also see the mountain pass being like the final, like the most dangerous thing.
It feels like the final thing, just to also throw some thematics into it. It feels like the final thing is like, point of no return. Oh shit, the road is totally washed out. There's no way through. You're going to give up. But then he pushes through, or the driver pushes through, and it's all the previous people they've helped have somehow, you know, like are helping get across or whatever.
Yes. Okay, so.
Feels like fording a river, if it's going to be a dam, feels like that's the thing. Like water and getting flooded feels like a real danger in a way that is.
I don't know where this goes, but I was just thinking like if you did those five things, I could also see, I'm just trying to think of like an ending sort of feel, because if there was something that the town needed on top of this like mountain, whatever it was, if it was like sending out a signal or like, you know, he has to carry this big ass payload and plug it in or whatever it is, I was just thinking like the final moment being that like he gets the payload up on top, and in order to keep the trailer where it needs to go, like he sacrifices his truck and his truck goes like, you know, tumbling down the mountain, and he's now stuck up on top of the mountain by himself, but he did what the whole town needed. And then you think it's like, okay, well, he did it, but like this guy dies, and then like the final moment is as he's like falling asleep, freezing to death, you hear a rumble, and what is that? Another trucker's come to help him out. And it's like, oh, like society helping each other out.
I like
and
that. Like he's gonna That's make nice. It. I like that.
And if it's something like, you know, if he's selfish or something at the beginning, I don't know, but it's like, yes, like he does what's needed, and then like the lesson is like, yeah, help others, like be that person. Like, the person that comes to save him is the sort of person he is now. Like, he would do the same thing.
Okay. All right. I had a very stupid idea, but let me throw it because, I could see it playing along with this. Is, I don't know how this would work, but if the last thing he needed to do was to blow a dam or like pull down a levee or something like that. It would be like that you would do, like he's got the hugest truck of all time and he's got to like literally winch it to like a giant dam and then like rip it apart. But then he's getting chased by this wall of water and then he wrecks his truck and he thinks he's going to drown. But then like, who is it at the end? It's the bear in the air. It's like a helicopter comes in to pick him up and fly him out of there. And it's like the cop who he had had like, you know, like a disagreement with earlier in the movie and they come together.
And it sets up the sequel. Snow Flyer. I totally play a game about rescuing people with helicopters too, by the way.
That seems a little Hollywood though. I don't know that you'd okay. Anyway. All right. So what is his sin, right? Like what's his deal? Is it pride? Is he think he's the best trucker on earth? How does he wind up stuck in this little town? And you know,
I like the idea that he was this, you know, selfish, like, you know, rum runner, booze runner, bootlegger, Smokey and the Bandit type. His sin is pride there, you know, and his sin is using his truck only for selfish means.
And what's nice about that is that thus you get the fans of the trucking genre into it. That's like you're in. They're like, oh, I get this. Yeah. This is a Burt Reynolds type character. I love this. And then at the end, they're going to be like, I'm voting for Bernie this year. Like, how'd that happen? Damn propaganda movie tricked me.
Here could be something. What if he wears the ring, but he's divorced? Right.
Okay.
He loves the road so much that he has or wasn't able to make his marriage work. And so you do like it's this guy for whom, you know, trucking is this big identity for him and it's his pride. And I'm just trying to get it like, how does he get stuck in this town?
I mean, yeah, I guess the divorce thing's good. You could also do like the sort of dead wife thing in terms of like he's kind of like, well, you know, I don't have what I want anymore. Like the world sucks. I'm just out for myself now sort of thing. Right. Like the sort of libertarian mindset or whatever still ultimately comes down to like taking care of your family, right? Like you still have,
it's not
like
yours.
The Ben Shapiro's of the world, like I only care about myself. Screw you, kid. Like my son doesn't get, it's like, no, it's like, it's a very narrow sort of take care of your most direct sort of tribe. Like, you know, take like responsible for your family. And if everybody else is responsible for their family, then everybody gets along, like the end sort of thing. So it's like, if he lost that, like the only thing he has left is kind of take care of himself. And that's what he's concerned about. And, you know, over time, he's going to see the whole town as sort of his family and something he can be a part of and help or something.
Okay, so he's passing through this town, right? At the beginning.
Oh, with his coors.
Or whatever it is he's hauling.
Yeah.
And then he's going to get stuck here. And then it feels like he needs to do something, again, whether it's getting into a bar fight and winding up in jail. That probably feels like a good one, right?
Yeah.
Because then it's just his first objective is to just go get his truck. Right. Like, and get the fuck out of here. Right.
So, yes. Okay. So he's got the best like starter truck you can get that you should try to get right away is like the International Paystar 5070. So it's like, you know, 6-wheel kind of big truck, not quite a big rig, but enough to carry a lot of stuff. So like, let's say he got in a bar fight and then his truck got confiscated with his whatever he's transporting. Right. So, yes, the first thing he does when he gets out is go to take his truck, and his starting goal is he's going to take these, let's just say, Coors, whatever universe this is where you can smuggle Coors. His job is still to get out of this floodplain and get his Coors to wherever he was bringing it, right? And then along the way, it's like, okay, well, he can't just leave. Like, this place is flooded. Like, the bridge is down. When are you going to get the bridge back up? Well, I don't know. Whenever we get lumber. He's like, oh, shit. Okay, well, I guess I'll do that. So he unloads his Coors and uses his truck to get lumber, right, for them to build the bridge. And he slowly, in order to get out, he's got to help everybody.
Yes.
And then at the end would be like the sacrifice he does is he drops his Coors off the mountain or whatever in order to make the final run, you know, to make it over this like final gap on the mountain for whatever it is the town needs or sort of thing. And then yes, the guy who arrested him or whatever is the one who pulls him out.
Yeah.
I can kind of see that as like an arc.
Okay. So, all right. It feels like what you got to do then is if you're going to do that, he's late. So your opening sequence, I think, is on the highway. Is before he gets to the town. And hear me out. It's basically, this is like your James Bond intro to the main character,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
So it's, he's hauling ass with a big load of freight, and then Smokey gets on his tail, right? And then you're going to see this guy in a fucking loaded big rig, like outflank and outmaneuver this cop to stay on schedule, right?
Because he goes off road,
yeah,
and the cop can't
follow
him.
Yeah, he's that good. And then it's like, I ain't never seen no one take a big rig off into the mud before, and we're like, wow, this guy's really good at trucks, right?
Yeah.
He has like a Batman-esque winch on the front, so he doesn't even have to get out to attach the winch. It like just shoots out from the front and attaches the stuff.
I mean, I think the end of that scene is that he gets caught.
Or the classic save the cat thing where like he is, you know, bombing it through this little town and he's almost out. And then a little kitty cat crosses the road and he jackknifes to save the cat. Mm. And then he...
Well, the secret about Save the Cat is it's an unlikable character that you need saving. This dude's running
this
from
dude
the cops
rules.
In a big truck. He could run over a cat. I'm still rooting
no,
for
I'm
him.
Just trying
this is the coolest...
I'm saying, why does he get caught? Like, that's what I'm like. What is the thing that thwarts him? It can't be his prowess behind the wheel, obviously, right?
I mean, you could do that. He gets away, and then he goes to take a quick drink to quench his thirst, and then he gets in a bar fight. Like, I think his own stupidity is the more fun way. Like, his own sort of arrogance or something is the more fun way
yes,
for him
to get caught.
Yes, I
guess that's true. That's true. Okay, here's what you would do. He bamboozles the law with his hot dog and big rig skills, and now he winds up on a highway he's never seen before. He's lost, right? So he pulls into this town to ask for directions or to figure out his map or whatever and, you know, maybe celebrate his victory with a well-earned brew. And then you're going to get the character thing, right? Which is essentially he's going to get into this bar fight because someone, then for a reason I don't know yet.
Oh, here's a dope thing that will build up to the end. Bear with me.
Okay.
It's like, okay, he's doing this cool off-road scene. He's driving away from the cops. They're on the highway. He goes off. He's like, how is this even possible? They're like using a, like, no, they can't have a helicopter. But they're chasing him up a mountain. And then there's like a small wooden bridge over this chasm.
Oh, he fucks up the bridge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he does it in such a cool way. He drives across and he's got like a crane on his truck and he drops the crane like into the bridge as he's driving off and like literally rips the bridge apart behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops like slide out, one goes off the ravine. And then you do when the place floods and their main bridge is gone, the only way out, there's a service bridge up there. And it's like, he took it out, like
his own stupid
thing. And now he's got to fix the problem that he did in the
first
place.
That's very good. I like
that. It's
kind of
like the end thing.
That's really good. Okay, so yes.
Oh, sorry. You could even do, if you do that, one of the cops like flies off the ravine.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh shit, a dude died in this. And he's just drinking, having a good time. As he's fixing the bridge, you should hear him moaning. And he looks down, and one of the guys that was chasing him is like on the edge of the ravine. And his final thing is saving this man.
Oh, I was going to say that like you should definitely have like this Terminator cop who shows up in town to arrest him.
It's very similar to Heaven Heist.
I guess that's true. We got 15 minutes to bring this load on home. Hammer down on the hammer lane.
Sticking with what we have, we can't go away anymore.
Yes.
I think that's the general structure.
Okay, so, all right, so yes,
there.
Where he's this hot dogging road hog and he bamboozles the cops.
A hot dogging road hog.
I like that it's his pride at the beginning. So it is like he is trying to do this run, this beer run or whatever, in a new record time.
Uh-huh.
And he's almost about to do it, right? And then
yes, the Kessel run, but for beer.
Yeah, he's doing the Kessel run, but for whatever product he's hauling. And, you know, he's got all the truckers on the CB are, you know, cheering him on. And he's not going to let this cop slow him down. And then he winds up stuck in this town.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, okay, in that case, rather than like a bar fight, the way you could do that is like he's so arrogant that as he's driving through this town, he's like, gonna make a record time. I even got time to get a beer. And he walks in and like grabs the beer. And when he comes out, just the kind sheriff just notices his truck. I don't know. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? I kind of try.
No, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, I like that it is. Yes, he's like, hey, it looks like I still got time for a beer. And they're like, oh, you know, Corn Dog, you're the craziest trucker that ever lived. And
yes.
So then Corn Dog stops in to get a beer.
That's my trucking name. I'm Corn Dog.
Okay.
Corn Dog, okay. Like, he avoids the elite FBI who are in, like, armored vehicles at the beginning. We do the most American over-the-top trucking scene. And then he gets caught by this small-town sheriff because he walked in for a beer. And the sheriff is smart, and he notices his truck. He's like, this guy's carrying contraband. I haven't seen this truck around before.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks outside and the guy's already impounding the truck.
Yeah.
And he's like, is this truck yours? He's like, yeah, we can do about a small sheriff. He's like, well, you're under arrest, sir. And he pulls away. He's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I got caught.
That's fun. And I like that you could do it as basically like the community catches him. Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, okay, so here's essentially what you do. As he's bombing around, right? Like, obviously, they never talk about this in the fucking trucker songs, but, like, clearly, the cops have radios, right? Like, they can explain what this truck looks like and who this guy is, but, like, part of, like,
yeah.
He has a little flip
That's
button
true.
In his truck that, like, changes what the cab looks like, right? It ditches, like, the actual thing. Like, he has a cloth that goes over it, and, like, the, license plate changes too. So then he pulls into this town, but then because he's bragging and everyone essentially figures it out and then he gets arrested.
So he pulls in and he parks across four handicapped spaces in a row and he hops out.
He knocks over a mailbox.
He's like, give me your best beer. He just puts $100 down. He's like, I don't need change. And he pulls out. He's like, you guys all suck. And he takes a guy's dart. He throws a bullseye and he takes a swig. And he chucks the beer bottle into the wall. And he's like, anyways, I'm Audi. You just saw the best truck driver that ever lived. Remember this day. And he walks out and he's just under arrest. arrest.
Yeah. Okay, so then he's been caught, and then so he's rotting the night away in jail, right? And he's realized his world is crashing down around him because this is like this is his 12th offense, and he's gonna get his license suspended. He's gonna lose his job, and maybe you do. Hear me out. He prays to God for salvation, right? Like, get me out of this one, good Lord. And then there's a biblical flood. And it's
that's
like,
really
holy shit, right? And he's like, hey, it looks like I still got a pull with my Lord and Savior,
the man upstairs.
And then he's like, where the fuck is my truck? And again, first things first, his truck has been washed away by the rain, right?
Yes.
And then people help him get his truck out of the mud.
Yes.
And then he's like, see you later, losers. And then he realizes he's stuck here. And then he's like, hey, wow, you're really good with a truck. You got to help us save our town, essentially, right? You got to help us get out of here.
What I like is even when he gets out of prison, like he probably walks into the sheriff.
Well, he doesn't get his truck right away. The kindly secondary character lends him his beater truck.
Yes.
And then we can see him progress different trucks.
The first thing he does is pull his truck out of the mud. Mm-hmm. He could do, since we're talking about pulling out of the mud, is like he finds his truck, you know, washed in this, like, you know, whatever cornfield with, you know, the soil's all bad and it's all mud now because of the flood. And yes, he's got to pull his truck out. So he needs help from somebody.
Oh, okay. What if you do this? Here you do it. At the beginning of the movie, there is a kid who's like 14 driving like a shitty truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would do that, like, he was living with his like grandpa and his grandpa died and he wants to sell this shitty truck so that he can go to like trucker school and become a cool trucker or something like that. Okay. And so at the beginning, he meets this kid in the bar. The kid's trying to sell him this truck. And he's like, well, I got the fucking coolest truck on the road. I don't need your piece of shit. And flicks a cigarette in the kid's face. But then you, sure, if that's the kid at the beginning who then like helps him like get his truck out of the mud or whatever. I don't know.
Well, okay, yeah, I can see that. I mean, yes, I think there's a small vignette of a person. And
Oh, small town Americana.
Yes, an aspirational, idealistic sort of trucker is the first thing he does. And he takes this kid's truck that he made fun of, but now he needs this smaller, you know, a starter truck in order to pull his truck out of the mud.
Oh, it could be someone who has a tow truck if you wanted to do that. Like, and it's the, here's the tow truck is the, like, this is the truck that helps people, right? Like, you know, who get out of situations and stuff like that.
Tow trucks are the Benedict Arnold of truckers. It's like, your truck does nothing but take other trucks away. Well, I guess trucks are,
useful.
That's
not true. I also have trucks that break down.
And he makes a bunch of bootleg mods to it to improve it. And he's like, well, you can borrow it, son, but you know, Farmer Joe down the road needs a few pallets of this, so why don't you drop it off first? So it gets him the taste of helping people out. And he's like, what is this feeling? Like, this person's grateful.
I like that you're definitely imagining this old man, but Will kept saying a young kid, but now it's definitely this young kid just has an old man's voice. It's like, how old are you? I'm 17.
I very much like the idea that whoever it is, they're 12.
They're 12. I'm 12 years old.
It's like short round driving a tow truck.
Yes.
Like with the big blocks to reach the anyway. So he gets his truck out of the mud and then realizes that the bridge is out. So now the goal of the movie is essentially set, is we have to rebuild that bridge.
Yes.
Well, the first thing we're going to need is lumber from, you know, down the creek or whatever. Like, you know, like there's like a big washed out road and the next town over has lumber, or like, or there's the old lumber mill. They'll help us out. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you have essentially like a sort of road of trials of like him helping this town get this bridge built, right?
Yes.
So
he wants to get out of there.
Yes. So then where does this go? Is there like a ticking clock or something like that?
Yeah, you want ultimately to get to the point where he has the decision to get his coors out of here, or he sacrifices what he was trying to do in order to save this town or help this town with something that it needs. It's not like everybody's going to die if he doesn't do this, because then it's a decision between being a complete sociopath or good person.
Because I'm also like, we were doing like he was trying to set this world record pace, like obviously that's blown to shit by this point.
Yeah.
Well,
he got these coors.
I mean, the classic thing, like the classic kind of turn would be, it's Army of Darkness, right? It's like he helps them do their thing and accomplishes it, but then a secondary complication shows up and then he's like, hey, tough shit, I'm out. Like,
yeah.
I did my part, you know, like that would essentially be the kind of turn that you would have. And then you would have him, you know, be like, oh, but I can't, I got to go back. And then he does, he goes back and, you know, does the thing to save the thing and the people.
And he saves the people.
Hmm.
What's something they could use on a mountain? there's a missile silo and a nuke's going to launch once they get up to the top of this mountain.
Oh, yeah. This is one of those nuclear facilities out in the middle of the wilderness, right? The flood has killed the reactor. And so now this whole area is going to be wiped off the face of the map. Because
it's going to be like a Chernobyl exclusion zone kind of thing.
Yeah, there's going to be a whole thing. So it's him being confronted with, like, I could just get out of here. This is my way out. But I helped these people. I put all of this work into these people. And this community, I'll be damned if I'm going to let a nuke stop me.
Okay. This is pretty good. Because here's how you could get essentially the complete loneliness from SnowRunner. Is, let's say it is like a nuke's going to go off. Honestly, I think what you do is throughout the course of this, he discovers, you know, how much this town means to people. And throughout this, like, he sees that these people are going to recover. Like, this flood destroyed a bunch of stuff, but they're already rebuilding the bridge. You know, they're getting their farmland back. Like, over the course of this, like, couple days, it's, like, very clear this, you know, this isn't the first time they've experienced a disaster here.
They're
like,
survivors. Right?
They're survivors. But they're going to lose the town because, yes, this nuclear facility is going to blow it up.
Yeah.
And so everybody's fleeing because they got the bridge built, and now they're all getting out of there.
They're going to lose their town.
Going to lose their town. So as they're all crossing the bridge, he stops. Yes, he decides that he's going to risk it all by driving through this abandoned town and getting to the top of the mountain and shutting down the nuclear reactor.
So he can tow a nuclear missile.
Yes, he can stop a nuclear missile.
He has to tow a nuclear missile away from the town before it blows up.
Shit.
Yes,
oh, shit.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. He's to load a nuclear just the warhead, because you don't need the whole missile. The warhead's the thing that's the worst part.
Oh,
that's
I'm sorry.
Go.
Does he know how to dismantle a missile?
No.
He's obviously carrying the whole missile,
Freddy. The broken-hearted nuclear physicist who's washed up in the town does.
No, but it's more that it's definitely more fun if he's towing a whole missile. Like, that's your extreme payload at the end, is a massive missile
that's
on the
true.
Back of his truck that he's trying to pull down out the mountain and get in, out into the, you know, whatever this big ass, you know,
no, the quarry, into the quarry.
Oh, into the quarry, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
deep in the quarry. And the quarry's run by, like, an asshole, so it's fine. And
oh, that's great, because, yes, the final thing is he just catapults his entire truck down the quarry at the end with the missile.
Oh, well, you could do that, then they're going to bury it under a bunch of rocks or something like that. Like, obviously.
Yes, correct.
Oh, that's good. Like, the whole town's, like, taking all their trucks, and, like, right when they throw the missile down, like, they all have trucks ready to go, and they start just tumbling big rocks down this quarry. And like, wait, this wasn't a good idea. And the nuke goes off and all these rocks go flying through the sky and become missiles.
Become nuclear missile rocks. Okay, so, all right. I'm trying to think of how you can make it.
He needs to get the missile to the other side of the mountain because right now it's going to detonate.
Okay.
He's going to go to the missile silos like at the foothill. Mm-hmm. And he's going to take it. And then he's going to climb this mountain and get it over the mountain. The other side of the mountain is just big empty prairie, right? It's just like park.
Land, and it's like, yeah, whatever.
I mean, honestly, it's going to suck. There's a nuke going off. It's better than destroying this town. I don't know what the radiation is. I like the quarry. I could buy the quarry being something like, if you can get this thing in a quarry.
There's a quarry on the other side of the mountain. It's fine.
Okay. How is he going to get out of there at the end? Because then he has to get out before this nuke goes off, doesn't he?
He just like drops the truck and it tumbles down. He salutes this truck. His truck disappears.
Yes.
Like, he's throwing the truck away to save the town.
Freddie, I understand that. But how far is this truck going that he's going to be die from the nuke going off?
Fine. The fucking nerdy ass kid in town is like, well, I've been working on a way to remote control a truck and you can just play it with an Xbox controller so he can like sit there fucking play it on a fucking 50-inch flat screen TV run off a generator in the middle of a parking lot. Okay, Will, you happy now? You happy?
The way it is you're right, Will, he's not that far. It's like he dumps the truck into the quarry and he sees the missile fall down. A nuclear missile doesn't just explode, like it needs to be activated to blow up or whatever. It falls down and it's at the bottom of the quarry and he's got no truck and now he's just stuck on the mountain. And he sighs and he sits there and he's like, well, it's 2 minutes till this thing goes off. And he's resigned his fate, but he saved the town. And then who's that? The sheriff.
The bear in the air.
Yeah, comes in the air or whatever and picks him up and they fly away or drive away and the nuke goes off behind them.
It's the True Lies finale.
Yes. What I love is we were talking about how only a non-American could make this game. And we just made this shit the most fucking American ass movie, which is exactly our point. There's no way you give an American a truck and you're not doing a fucking badass selfish dude who's gonna save a whole town by himself and learn the meaning of just being a proud American citizen.
We failed on every front.
Okay, well, that's pretty good, right?
Hello, I'm Senator Bernie Sanders, and I'm once again asking you to rethink your script.
That's pretty good. The final payload being a big nuclear missile.
A nuclear
that he's like,
payload.
A wages of fear style going up this mountain trying to get it out of this valley town so that it doesn't destroy all their farmland and everything they've worked for because he's grown to appreciate these people.
Yes.
And then he... And then the people are the people that save him in the end. Like, he does it. He sacrifices his truck and everything and his cool payload of Coors, which for some reason he kept.
No. You do the sort of meeting with the goddess moment, the sort of like, you know... Your midpoint is after they've built the bridge, they're all going to leave the next day, right? They're all going to like, you know, mm-hmm. like, hooray, we can bring in supplies to save the town, right? And then you do that yes. night, he cracks open the case. Then everyone gets good and drunk and has a good time, right? And like,
that's
and then
good.
He becomes
that's
a
good.
Member
that's
of
good.
The town, right? And so they've dry- and You're then right. they all wake up in a bleary hangover. And what's this? You know, like the fucking, there was an earthquake in the middle of the night and the fucking nuclear missile silo is going to blow up. You know,
listen, we're playing fast and loose with all of the nuclear rules, but it's fine.
Yes.
It's fine.
Everybody wakes up. They're like, uh-oh, the nuke's going off. And then the guy's like, the sheriff's rubbing his head. He's like, man, what was in that non-alcoholic beer? He's like, what? That's just beer. They're like, oh, no. This town's been dry for 100 years. Our people, we can't handle beer. What did you do? Somebody must have turned down the nuclear missile. The idea that the flood ruined the cool. I mean, whatever. Our nuclear infrastructure is pretty shitty as it is.
Yeah, so the idea
that there was a big flood and something broke in this underground area because the flood, whatever, like the water came through and screwed up the coolant or whatever, and this thing's getting ready to fucking go off, you know, whatever.
Okay, here's what you do. This is very good. Is that you do throughout the second act, they keep radioing for help. And mm-hmm. no help ever comes from the government. And they're like, what's going on? Like, why aren't they, like, maybe the tower must have gone down or whatever. And then you do, as he's going around the town and, like, hearing little bits and pieces about the history of this town, what you realize is that this town is a secret missile silo buried beneath it, right? From the Cold War.
Yes.
And the government knows that this thing is going to go fucking thermonuclear, and that's why they're not coming to help. They're like, shit, this is like
Whoa,
a big fuck-up
yeah,
or something like that.
Government can't help us. Yeah, man. Yeah. The government isn't going to help the little towns. Yeah.
This is the most American-ass movie.
Ah, we fucked up hard. So, they're not going to like this.
The
they're
government's not
going like
to help us. Just a man in a truck has got to stop this. So good.
Okay. You know what? I buy it.
It's a good-ass movie. I don't know if this is the SnowRunner movie.
But it's a truck movie.
It's a truck movie, that's for sure.
It's a big fully bald, and your movie ends with him back on the open road, but he respects the law now. He slows down when he goes through towns because he has a respect for them, but, you know, he's still got a little bit of that swaggering attitude.
Are you kidding? The final moment is the sheriff lands, and he's like, thanks to you, like, you know, we'll be able to rebuild this town in a couple months. He's like, no problem. And then what's that off in the distance, like Lawrence Arabia shot, a bunch of sirens of the FBI, and he's like, well, looks like I'm done. And the sheriff's like, hands him the keys, is like, get out of here. It looks like you got 5-minute head start or whatever.
Yes. And then good.
And then he drives off.
Because they're still mad about the beer that he stole.
Perfect.
This truly is Andrei Tarkovsky's trucker movie.
We set out to make an introspective Soviet slow-paced movie. And we made propaganda, but of a different kind.
What are you going to do?
Hey, I love it.
Very good.
This just makes me want to go play SnowRunner. I'm going to be honest.
Yep. Agreed.
Maybe you do. Okay, hear me out. What if you were going to do just the last thing? This is very dumb. Just to make it the most American propaganda. You do that. What's the twist? The old missile silo is a secret Russian missile silo. And you do that. There's been communist spies in the town for years building a nuke on American soil one piece at a time. That's very stupid. You don't need that.
Look, it's always going to be more fun doing this sort of thing. Look, we already know the Andrei Tarkovsky one would be like his wife's dying of cancer, and the truck is a metaphor for our own mortality and just moving on despite it. And over the course of the movie, his truck would slowly fall apart into pieces. He keeps trying to fix it, but what he should be doing is dealing with a disaster that's going on at home. And then at the end, he, like, you know, stares at a sunset as, like, a beetle moves through the dirt or something.
Well, there you have it. Two stories for the price of one today.
Holy
on Story
shit,
Break.
Matt, did you just off the top of your dome just give me a whole movie? And, like, the last image being, like, off the top of your dome, the last image being, like, an ironic commentary on the perambulation of nature to cross terrain and, like, our mankind's own futility in building machines and being able
to do the wrong thing. My God, Matt.
But what movie would you rather watch?
Our movie.
This is what's great. This is what's great, because it's like you hear these stories about like Kurt Cobain, this tortured genius, came up with Smells Like Teen Spirit because he was just, you know, fucking goofing around. This is like the reverse, where like we're such fucking morons most of the time that when we're goofing around, we come up with Solaris.
All right, everyone.
Oh man, oh man.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening to Story Break. What a journey. And it's, you know, very much like a truck off road. We were stuck in the mud for a while. We needed some help. We towed ourselves out. We made a piece of American propaganda. I think we can look back at what we did today with proud eyes, us and all of our descendants. Anyway, if you want more of us, I don't know why you would, but you can find us on social media, Twitter at RJ Story Break, and then Facebook, bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. Join the discussion. There's all kinds of stuff going on at all times on both of those. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on their excellent podcast network. Thank you to Chad Ellis for cutting and slicing this podcast. And thank you to you, our listeners, for joining us every week on our story journey. That's it for us this week. My name is Freddie Wong.
This is Big Willie over and out. 10-4. Keep your eyes peeled.
Corn dog signing out.
My name is Matt Arnold. And another piece of truck lingo, when a vehicle is flipped over, it's called greasy side up. That's also what my wife calls me when I'm on my back. Sorry. I didn't mean it.
No.
She's there in the room with you, isn't she? What are you doing?
She's giving me side eye.
Hi, I'm Biv.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bev Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
These are really hard questions.
They are really hard questions.
I don't have any answers for them.
I don't either.
Sack of garbage.
No.
The end of the show will just be 5 minutes of Biz and Teresa crying and screaming until the outro is played.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.